B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ogilvy hands the rebound to Terry Rozier.
The Celtics going to shoot.
They will take a beating here on the final night of the road trip, but they will return to Boston rejuvenated, back in the race for the third spot in the Eastern Conference. Rozier steps to his right. He will take the three and drill it. His sixth of the night. And that will give us the final score. L.A. 140, Boston 115. Now it gets interesting as the Celtics return home.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Thought we'd start with this. We meant to get to the Celtics yesterday. We had so much free agency news that they got squeezed out. So let's try and slip them in here in the first hour of the program. Your thoughts on the Celtics, that West Coast trip. We have a lot of Kyrie stuff to get to. We start with that loss last night. It's a fully loaded program here with Jimmy Stewart and Billy Lanny behind the glass. Big Jim Murray in our update studio. Maz alongside Anthony.
Good, you?
I'm just excellent. Thank you so much. Your thoughts on your basketball team.
So the loss last night in and of itself does not concern me. And, I mean, I'm a little disappointed because I thought they had the chance to have a really good trip. And so it would have been nice if you come back 4-0 and you say, okay, like there's an emphatic conclusion to this trip in which they clearly found something. Now, what it is, I don't know, and I don't know how long it's going to last. So I sort of look at it again from the big picture point of view. As Grandy said there, Sean Grandy, I am eager to see now what they look like when they come back. You know what this almost felt like to me for them? Like a little escape. Like they got away, they found themselves, and now they're coming home and they get their heads clear. Okay? So let's see. Let's see if it's legit. Let's see if they come back and they actually continue to play to their capability, or if now that they're back here and they have to get back in the grind and there are all these other variables of, you know, they come along with playing for the Celtics with Kyrie's contract and everything else, and they all come back to the surface. Let's see. Let's see how they cope with it.
What do you think, Murray? You prepared to discuss?
Yeah. Now finally settled in. Love that Chinese fire drill every time we get in here. The road trip was fine. I'm not going to make a whole hell of a lot out of it, even if they ended up sweeping the damn thing. It was disappointing that they gave up, what, 140, and they out-rebounded pretty much every single second you look up and watch the damn thing. But even if they had won that game, I wasn't going to make too much out of it because I didn't look at it as some big test. I heard Beadle refer to it as he was chirping back and forth with Hardy yesterday because, you know, some people are like, oh, this was a good test for them considering where they were. No, I'm mostly with Maz. This was like a respite for them. They needed to get the hell away from all the nonsense going on around here. And everybody like myself and other talking heads chirping about it, fans getting pissed off. I think it was good for them to get away, but I don't know. Like, to me, that Golden State win feels less and less by the day. They lose at home to Phoenix the other night. Feels like that team's been dealing with the same kind of crap that the Celtics have been. They were just waiting for the playoffs, biding their time. The Sacramento win, fine, nice. L.A., you couldn't even name anyone outside of LeBron or maybe two other players that they were playing against on Saturday night. So, I don't know, like, fine, it was good. I still don't have high expectations for them to make any kind of a deep run.
Has anyone checked in on Kyrie's mood? Was he nice on the plane home?
From what I understand, he was okay after the game last night. So that was a huge sigh of relief.
Was he nice? Was he nice to the guys on the plane? Did he take his earbuds out? Did he talk to them? Because I was going to do most of this yesterday until the Patriots news came in. But that was really the storyline coming out of the weekend. What happened on that plane ride? What was the attitude adjustment? You know what it was? Kyrie decided to be nice. He was nice. He was nice on the plane ride. Took his earbuds out, actually played cards, talked to the guys, talked to them. And they all gave him credit for his attitude changing, really changing the attitude of the entire team. Garrett Morris.
The old SNL cast member.
Marcus.
Baseball been Betty yeah. Good to me.
Chico Escuela.
Garrett Morris. Marcus Morris was asked after the Sacramento win, I think. Maybe it was the Lakers win. What was the sudden change and the sudden resurgence there on the Celtics? He said, ask that man right there, pointing at Kyrie Irving. His energy has just taken us to another level. He's been great for us. Everybody's been talking about how he won out and all that other bleep. But he's been great for us, a great leader. So there's Marcus Morris. Then NBC Sports Boston did an interview with Terry Rozier about that plane trip. He said, well, basically, Kai's our leader, And when he's in a great mood and he's feeling good, we're hard to beat. And it's contagious, he said. It rubs off on everybody else. Sometimes when he's not like that, it can get everybody uptight. So the way he's been acting has been great, and it's been good for us. So when he's sad, they're sad. When he's happy, they're happy. This is what we're talking about?
I mean, I think that he meant the compliment initially, as a compliment initially, and it really came out as much of an indictment as like, this guy's, you know, he's all over the place.
Well, it's, no, I mean, but it's also an indictment of the kids because, well, wait a minute. Kyrie's happy, you're happy. Kyrie's sad, you're sad? I don't know. That's not exactly grit and balls right there, is it now? So it's a reflection on the rest of the roster, too. It's not just Kyrie.
No, his bad attitude was like a black cloud hanging over the rest of him.
Which makes sense. I mean, when you show up the way he did against Houston in that Sunday afternoon game, F this, man. I suck. I can't wait for this to be over. Like, that's not exactly a way to get off on the right foot there when your best player comes in like, man, I can't wait for this to be over. So, I get it, except, boy, they're that fragile. They're that fragile. And they're that much at the whim of Kyrie. So now we're all just basically, I said this to you last night, Maz. How are the Celtics going to do? I don't know. Is Kyrie, we're all at the whim of Kyrie's menstrual cycle. Is he happy? Is he sad? Is he into it? Is he not? And that's sort of, we're now at the behest of his ups and his downs and his moods.
Scary.
Oh my God. Again, not exactly grit and balls.
No. So look, it is. It's scary. I mean, that's how I look at it. It's just so, you know, tenuous at best, because you know that he's not going to keep this up.
And erratic.
He can't. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, Saturday, I refer to him as almost like having an alcoholic dad. Like, which dad are we getting tonight? Oh, he didn't have a few. He's in a good mood. Oh, it's a good night. We can enjoy ourselves. Which dad are we getting tomorrow? Oh, he's had a few. Someone's going to be yelling. He's in a bad mood, and the black cloud hangs over the family. Much like Kyrie's bad attitude hangs over this team at times.
That's a tough analogy, but I get it. I get it, but that's what it is now?
See, but I hold him more accountable than I do the young guys on that part.
You do?
Yeah, because they're young guys. Like, you know, some of them only been in the league a couple of years. They don't know what it's like. It takes a little while. So all of a sudden the superstar comes in. He's all over the place. They don't know how to act. Not really. So, like, to me, that's the definition of bad leadership. Being all over the place and not knowing what you're going to get. Like, because it does. It puts the other people on eggshells when you're the best player on the team.
Boy, did he seem to clear his head, though. Because yesterday, there was posted a quote from him to Yahoo Sports, told Chris Hayes this may be the best thing Kyrie's ever said.
This is a good comment.
Might have been one of the best quotes I've ever read from him, for sure, and maybe, you know, any professional athlete. He says, and you got to forgive me, Nana left her glasses in the car. The way I've handled things, it hasn't been perfect, Irving told Yahoo Sports. I've made a lot of mistakes that I take full responsibility for. I apologize. Wow. I haven't done it perfectly, he said. I haven't said the right things all the time. I don't want to sit on a place like I'm on a pedestal from anybody. I'm a normal human being that makes mistakes. For me, I think because of how I fixated trying to prove other people wrong, I got into a lot of habits that were bad, like reading stuff and reacting emotionally. That's just not who I am. Wow, what a great quote.
Absolutely. And you know what? Maybe he actually said that to his teammates on the plane. Maybe that's why they all went, okay, no problem, we're good. Thank you. Like, thanks for acknowledging you've been an a-hole. Like that, because that's really what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, how many times did he refer to the young guys?
The kids, yeah, the young guys.
Or, like, over, it's just so condescending that eventually maybe someone said to him, stop calling them young guys and start calling them your teammates.
I don't want to sit on a place like I'm on a pedestal from anyone. That's exactly what he's referring to.
Yeah. No question.
And that's what he has been doing up until recently.
No question. It's rare. So I'll give him a lot of credit for this. I think, you know, he drives me nuts. I find him insufferable. I've said that from day one. I think it sucks now that we are now at the whims again of his menstrual cycle. That's just what we're going to have to ride, his ups and downs and his moods. Like, that's just painful. I feel like that exists in that league more than any other. So, like, blech. But him being able to say, I apologize, just say those words. How many of these athletes, people, do you hear say, well, that's just who I am, and I'm not going to change a thing. I wouldn't change a thing. I'm not going to change a thing.
I feel like that's most people in society.
Well, that makes you an a-hole, too, because that means you think you're perfect, or you're beyond correcting yourself or trying to improve or get better, that you just keep doing the same things over and over, even if they're wrong. How dumb is that? So it takes something to, you know, I apologize.
No, I thought it was big, and I think it's huge that he had this epiphany or bout of self-awareness, whatever it is. But my question is what's the reasoning behind it in terms of being a Celtic? Well, is it because he really had this moment of self-discovery and he's realized this is the best situation for me and I'm planning on staying here before beyond the summer? Or is it because he realized, you know what, I have, what, 2, maybe 3 months left here in Boston, so let me suck it up and not be such a diva, make the best of it. Yeah. Maybe we make a run, and I'll make my and everybody's life around here a little bit easier, and that's it. And I tend to think it's the latter.
So, I mean, that's a great question.
Yeah, I don't know which one it is. I think someone got through to him, though, is what I think. Someone sat down to him and said, this is what you sound like.
Yeah, and if you had to guess it was a someone, to me, because I think it's the latter of what I just painted, it's probably his agent. Like, dude, just suck it up. Like, get through this. We'll move on. You get to go to New York next summer.
His agent? No, well, I mean, I hope it was Danny or Brad Stevens.
See, I think it was one of those two. I think it was either Ainge or Stevens.
More, you might be right. I just hope for their sake it's...
Because I feel like it happened on the plane, or waiting for the plane, or as soon as they got on, and then as the flight went, he opened up. Like, but I think someone sat down with him and said, hey, you've never been in this spot before either, so don't act like you have. No big deal. You'll figure it out, but calm down. Because otherwise, you're turning everybody off. So to me, someone said something to him that got through. And it has to be someone who he respects. So you know it wasn't Rozier,
right, it wasn't,
or Tatum.
Jaylen Brown.
Right. It wasn't one of those guys. I mean, I suppose there's a chance it was Horford or Marcus Morris. I don't think it was Horford because my guess is Horford has tried and Kyrie tunes him out. So I think it was management or ownership or the coach or an assistant on the staff that can get through to him. Someone said to him, stop acting like such an a-hole.
Okay, so here's a problem, too, with him. So, look, it feels like he cleared his head. Feels like he's in a good spot. God bless him. Do you trust it? Do you trust it?
No.
No.
Boston, do you trust it? 617-779-0985. Do you feel they turned that corner or are to be taken seriously? Does last night impact it? Shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't we all pretty much have him... have that chalked up as a W last night?
I mean, I thought they were going to come home 4-0.
Clippers have been playing better. I thought it would be competitive. I didn't think they'd give up 140 points to them.
That's the most points they've given up in how long?
Oh, God, it's ridiculous. I saw the date. It's, you know, over a decade.
Yeah, I thought it was more than that, but whatever. I mean,
April 1994.
Okay, 94.
25 years.
Good God. 94. So,
See, but I almost feel like the fact that they gave up 140 last night almost makes me less concerned. Like,
that's a fluke night.
Yeah, and they just shut it down. Okay. They've been in L.A. for 5 days, like, you know, out on the coast for a week plus or whatever it is. I think they just said, I'm done. Okay. I want to get on the plane and go home now.
Do you trust Kyrie? Maybe that's the question. Do you trust Kyrie?
Sure don't.
617-779-0985. And boy, over the weekend, still feel like he's throwing a coach under the bus. We'll get to that with your calls right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here's a question. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Can you tell us what changed? Because Brad said the plane ride out here, that everything was just different.
I did some coaching on the plane myself. Right. I helped Coach Stevens with some coaching, but more or less just giving our spirit right, in our energy. You know, just I think the rigors of the season could get to you a little bit. I myself was very frustrated. You know, high expectations for myself and for my teammates, and we're not being up to that standard. I'm aware it on my shoulders. I'm a very passionate guy, and ultimate goal is to win a championship. And we got to do this every single night, and I got to show one guy from 1 to 15 that coming out here is a privilege. We have to earn it. You know, it's not a privilege. Excuse me. We have to earn our right to come out here and play and compete. And when you get a chance to go against Bron or, you know, the Lakers and anybody in this league, you want to play well.
That was Saturday night. We were fully prepared to come in here Monday and really pick that one apart.
Bash him?
I did some coaching.
Saw it in real time at my buddy's house. Oh. I went,
didn't we all?
Oh. Seriously, though.
Oh, didn't we all?
He can't help himself.
So this is the thing. This is my point. Even with his head being in the right place, which I think it is right now in this moment in time, this time of the month, he's in a good spot. Okay. Is this an offensive analogy? Am I going to get in trouble for saying that?
Oh, who cares?
I got a wife and two daughters. I just, believe me, it's just houses get on a certain cycle and that's just what happens. Yeah. It's just, you know, so this is, it's just, well, you grew up in a house full of women.
Oh, yeah.
And this is just the way it works.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a minefield.
But all times. So anyway, we're all at the mercy of Kyrie's moods. And so I think he's in a good spot right now. He's in a good place right now. But he talked so damn much and says so much, and it comes out just the diary of the mouth that he's so like that thing on Saturday. He meant to say the right thing, but it comes off as what? You're the coach now? Now you're telling the coach what to do? And all the I, me's, and my's in the middle of that. The I, and me, and we all have to be, but it starts with me, and me. It starts with me, I, me. Oh, God. And then I didn't even see this. I read this. He was asked last night about the Clippers, to talk about the Clippers. And he turned it into this thing on Doc. He went to Doc and said, quote, it's so easy to play for a guy that's been a player in this league. He's won a championship and he's done unbelievable things in this league for his players while giving them confidence to go out there and be who they really are. And he goes on and on and on and on and on. But it's so easy to play for a guy who's been a player in this league.
I mean, you just read, I asked you a second ago, I said, I didn't hear this. What is it? You wouldn't tell me? That first sentence as you uttered it, I went, oh my God.
So it's like he can't, was that a direct shot at Stevens? Is it a subtle shot at Stevens? Or is it just the fact that he's just constantly running his yapper? And
it's an inadvertent shot at Stevens.
Right. Like, that's a good way to put it.
Like by hearing that, because I didn't know about this, and my immediate reaction is he takes a guy that has played in the league as a coach a little bit more seriously than college boy over here.
And he's won a championship. Okay. And he goes on and on about what he's done for the players. Like Lou Williams, he puts those guys in position, gives them the freedom and keeps them encouraged throughout the whole game, especially when they're at home. Not only do they stay on the refs the entire time, I've never seen a team complain as much, but he really holds them to a standard and lets them go out and play. Who would have known Gilles Alexander, how do you pronounce that name, would be where he is now, being on a playoff team that's competing for a spot. Those type of opportunities don't come along often in this league, especially when you have a coach that's going to get you the ball. And on and on and on and on about Doc and Doc and Doc.
You know what? Now that you say it, Ainge is the one that talked to him on the plane. Ainge.
All right. So anyway, there are our thoughts. What are yours on the Celts? Tony in the car. Go ahead, Tony.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, you're talking about how somebody should say something to Kyrie, but the only people that can really talk to him is Ainge. And clearly, he only respects Ainge. And clearly, the guy just replaced Bron, apologizing to Bron, with apologizing to what? In general? Why does he got to keep telling everybody he's apologizing? And then they go out and lose like that? I mean, come on now. Nobody's talking to this guy. It's a clown show.
Okay, it is a little bit of a clown show. It is a little bit of a reality show. I'm glad someone did talk to him because you can't show up like he did against Houston. You just can't. You can't come in to the room like that, into the building like that, and expect results. So someone had to talk to him. And his apologizing is fine. Like, I think it's really a sign of growth. It's great. The public apology there, I think, is really a nice little thing. Him apologizing to LeBron and then telling everybody about it, though, threw his teammates under the bus by doing so. So it's like, someone's got to turn off the faucet a little bit on the guy.
Yeah, because look, again, when he comes out and apologizes to LeBron, it's about him,
exactly.
Right? He makes it about him, and the reality is it's not. He has to understand his place in the greater context, and he doesn't. So someone got through to him, I think, because I just don't think he's capable of doing it on his own.
And he had a good weekend, and he turned the page, and he feels like he's in a good place. Do you trust it? Do you trust it to continue? Do you trust him?
Just that comment about Doc, just real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. The worst part, Murray says it's an inadvertent shot, and I think Murray's right. That's the worst part of the whole thing. He doesn't even realize he's doing it. He doesn't realize he's taking a shot at his own coach in the process. He doesn't even get it. That's the part that's infuriating.
Well, maybe.
Maybe
he does, maybe he doesn't.
So, right, I'm just giving you my opinion on it is that he doesn't even realize he's doing it.
I'm curious because I just saw the tweet with the quote. And it was framed as he was asked about the Clippers and one off on Doc. I'm curious to hear the actual question if we ever get it. Was Doc never even mentioned? Was he just asked about the Clippers and he goes decides to go off on Doc? Chris in the car on Kyrie, you trust him?
Yeah, I guess I trust him. I think the really big thing that we're not thinking of is what if it wasn't internal in the actual organization? Like, what if it wasn't from the Celtics or his agent that he had someone talk to him? What if it was actually LeBron after that game in Boston after they lost by 1 point? What if it was LeBron after that game or any time after that where he talked to him and said, hey, you know, this is what you're looking like. I've been in that same position. I lead teams, you know. If you want to be like me, if you want to be, you know, a great in this league.
Sure, Chris, I'm just going to stop you because the Lakers game happened 2 weeks before they traveled out to L.A.
Timeline doesn't work.
And he turned into a total pill around that time. Total dink. With the height of it, the nadir, rather, being that Houston game. And he shows up and basically says, I can't stand this. I can't wait for this to be over. And just that attitude. And then the way he played is just dogging it. And then he showed up the next day and sort of was a little more loquacious. And I was clearly on the plane. Clearly on the plane.
I mean, that's what I think, too. That part of the story, to me, I believe, and I believe it firmly. Whatever it was that happened on that plane. Someone got through to him on that plane.
Wayne in Yarmouth, you trust him?
No, it's only temporary with this guy. Look at his history. It's one of only being about him and what he wants. And all this is doing is just letting off a little stress and pressure maybe as he gets ready for his next team with Durant.
Yeah, so Wayne, I don't blame you for not trusting him. Is this some sort of lead up to his next thing, whether it's here or somewhere else, or is this just what the guy is? Is he just up and down, moody, and he wears it on his sleeve, and it affects everybody else?
I'm leaning towards that.
And this is what he is, and this is what, you know, what's the future look like? This. These wild ups and downs, these swings, what's he thinking, what's he feeling, and then how it impacts his teammates, and we're all sort of at the mercy of his ups and downs.
Yeah, and I think it's more that. I don't think this is a build-up to – I just think this is who he is.
That's a tough way to live.
It is, and this is – and I put – the reason I say that is because of what Gasper has sort of indicated, that he is the kind of guy that will tell you one thing and at the beginning of the season, like his intention is to re-sign here, and then 3 months later tell you, nope, you know, ask me on July 1. So I think if you look at his behavior, I think that this is what he is.
Tony in Boston, your thoughts?
Hello.
Hi, Tony. You're on the air.
Hey, Mike. Hey, listen, three quick things. Brad Stevens is cream cheese. They need a better coach. Kyrie Irving is a prima donna. He wants the coin, and then he's going to split. And, you know, there's no fight in this team. He got asked, well, what do you think about the team? And this is what he said the other night after the game. Well, the team runs through me. Like Matt said, this guy won't shut up.
Tony, thanks for the call. This team, Brad Stevens is cream cheese, and Kyrie Irving is a diva or prima donna. Kind of true on both accounts. Is that a bad mix?
Maybe.
It might be. We'll see. We'll see if either of them grow, you know, to the point where it is a good mix. The thing about the no fight is, well, again, just as that Terry Rozier comment about Kyrie Irving and said he's our leader, and when he's in a great mood and he's feeling good, we're hard to beat, and it's contagious. It rubs off on everybody else. Sometimes when, and then the actual audio, he pauses because he doesn't want to say when he's being a jerk, or when, so he tried to figure out a different way to say it. He said when he's in a great mood and he's feeling good, we're hard to beat, and it's contagious. It rubs off on everybody else. When he's not like that, it can get everybody uptight. So the way he's been acting has been great and has been good for us. So you're just, again, that's not exactly grit and balls right there.
No. And again, it has shown up on the court. Because how many times this year has an opposing team, and the Toronto game is the easiest example, gone on some sort of run early in a game and their knees buckle and that's it. They're done. It's over. They don't fight back because Kyrie doesn't feel like it that night. So to me, this is something they have to factor in. If they keep him, they got to factor this in when they construct this roster.
No question.
You got to have a veteran guy. And like, you know, to me, I'll throw it like, remember James Posey?
Sure,
on the championship team in 08? Posey was sort of, in a lot of ways, kind of the soul of that team outside of Garnett. You need a guy like that. You got to have a guy like that on the roster that will say, Kyrie, what are you sulking today? What are we doing? Is that what we're doing? Because the rest of us want to play. Do you want to play?
Here's,
and that'll get on them.
Okay, we will get to football. In fact, the very latest across the NFL and free agency, the update is right here with Big Jim Murray. We come back and we want to weigh in quickly on the Russell Westbrook thing from last night. So don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Felger and Nass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The realization of it is how it started was a young man and his wife in the stands told me to get down on my knees like he used to. And for me, that's just completely disrespectful to me. I think it's racial. I think it's just inappropriate in a sense of there's no protection for the players. I think there are a lot of great fans and around the world that like to come to the game and enjoy the game. And there are people that come to the game and to say mean, disrespectful thing about me, my family. For many years, man, I've done all the right things. I've never done anything to hurt or harm anybody. I've never been in any trouble. I've never fought a fan. Been in the league 11 years. Clean slate. Humble. I take whatever, all the criticism from everybody. I've been doing the same thing for years. Disrespect will not be taken from me. I'm completely... sit back some time and just take it like that's just one video, but throughout the whole game, throughout the whole, since I've been here, especially here in Utah, every time I come here, it's a lot of disrespectful things I said. And
a quick thought on this last night in Utah, Russell Westbrook getting into it with fans there at the Jazz. Russell Westbrook's claims that the guy in the stands said, get down on your knees like you used to. At which point then Westbrook started saying to someone else on the bench and then to the guy himself, I will F you up. I'm going to tell you one thing. I'll F him up. Westbrook tells someone standing off camera. Then he turns his attention to the person who actually said that to him about get down on your knees. I promise you, Westbrook continued. You think I'm playing? I swear to God, I'll F you up. You and your wife, I'll F you up. I promise you, everything I love. And again, you heard there in the cut, Westbrook called it completely disrespectful, racial, the get down on the knees comment, which I don't quite get how that's racial. But when you saw the guy in the stands and they interviewed the guy in the stands.
Oh, camo hat guy.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
With the camo hat. Well, maybe that's what Russell Westbrook was referring to. I don't know what the comment. I don't know what the racial overtones of the comment necessarily. The fellow himself. Maybe I can see where he's coming from, but just your thoughts on that incident last night.
So Russell Westbrook to me is like a complete pain in the ass, wildly overrated, and I'm with him on 90% of this. 90%. The only part I don't love is him saying, I'll, you know, F you up, you and your wife.
Felt a little strong.
Yeah, you know, all right, like, let's leave the wife out of it. I don't know, maybe she was yapping at him too.
True, but I too have run hot before and said terrible things that I've apologized for, but it happens. In the heat of the moment, you sometimes black out and say awful, awful things, but I get it.
Yeah, but this is why I say I'm with him 90% of it.
Yeah.
90% of it. The you know, even just the heckling in general, I don't get it. I mean, I do get it. I shouldn't say I don't, you know, these people who think they're having fun and they can hurl insults at people, like, dude, get over yourself. Just shut up and watch the game. You want to boo, boo. You want to cheer, cheer. Once you start taunting someone, sorry, you're the a-hole. Just my two cents. Okay, to me, a fan has a right to express their pleasure or displeasure with what's going on out there.
Yeah, boo, cheer, don't make it personal.
Exactly. Once you start really taunting and like singling someone out and really digging in, oh, you're an a-hole.
Loser.
You're an a-hole.
Loser.
Total. Total, complete loser.
Yeah, I didn't even need to know what the a-hole fan said to know that this guy deserved what he got from Russell Westbrook, and now it could be, you know, racial in nature. But you get that kind of reaction, to me, you deserved it. And people that try to make themselves part of the show, be it a sporting event like this, a stand-up comedy show, Pauly yelling at you, Felger, at our event in Atlanta. Don't be surprised if there's repercussions and people yell or fight back. To me, in a perfect world, people like this, there's instant payback. You get tased and arrested for the night. But we don't live in that kind of world, unfortunately. So don't be surprised when people fight back. This guy deserved it. And apparently, he has a thing for Russell Westbrook. He had a whole Twitter account that he has since deleted. And people, because, you know, people dug out through his Twitter account quickly. And they found that he said he deserves to get his ass kicked.
Well, can I read the one from October?
Sure.
So the same guy tweeted in October apparently after a game, quote, Russell Westbrook needs to go back where he came from. Hashtag MAGMA, M-A-G-A, make America great again.
That's shocking.
So that was his tweet back in October. So again, that's not overtly racial, but that sounds, it certainly has the whiff of something there, fella, with the MAGMA and the camo hat last night. So, I don't know.
Oh, please.
I don't mind me to disparage anyone who wears camo hats, but you get a whiff of the dude. You tell me what you think.
Yeah, I thought there was a remake of Deliverance or something going on when I saw this guy pop up on my TV this morning. Seriously, you're a jackwagon is what you are. Seriously, to sit there, how many games...
And by the way, Paulie's a bad comp.
How many games have you gone to in your life? As a fan now, have you ever stood up and, like, dug in and heckled a player?
The only time I've really done it at a sporting event is at a horse race or a dog race, and my dog or horse totally finished. You know,
yeah, just yelling at an animal that doesn't know what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
So that I've done.
So that doesn't count. Like, you know what I mean.
Right. They're not going to register what you're...
Well, no. Also, the highlight fonton. When there's rampant cheating in that sport. You bet on a highlight match, and the guy just drops it. It's like, dude... So, but other than those settings, I've never I can ever remember raise my voice like that.
Oh gosh, I just think seriously, and a grown man on top of it, you know. Oh, dude, you know, I said the interview. Well, you know, I just thought, you know, I was having some fun.
Moron.
Oh yeah, you were having fun. Shut up, tool bag. You're a loser.
Anyone like this? Don't try to make yourself part of the show. I hate people like this.
Oh my gosh, this is where I believe in the law code of Ted Sarandis. Like, you get 2 nights in jail, a $5,000 fine, and never allowed to go to a sporting event again. I hear, like, seriously, to me, that is one of those where I say you're a dink.
Jackwagon.
You are a complete jackass. Like, where do you get off digging in and attacking a guy like that? You're a loser.
So I will say that it concerns me a little bit. Westbrook may be the wrong guy for this, because I think he turned around and snapped at a little kid at one point this year too, when the kid actually pushed him. This little kid is like a 6-year-old boy.
Oh, this was just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it was semi-recent. It was this season. And the kid sort of pushed him, and Westbrook turned around and glared at him, not like sort of funny. Not funny glare, but like, don't touch me.
Yeah, and that kid learned an instant lesson.
And you know what? I agree with Westbrook on that one, too.
Me, too.
And the dad just sort of stood there, like, laughing, like, oh, hi, isn't my kid cute? No, he's not. He just don't tell your kid to keep his hands in his pants and keep his hands to himself, or go sit in the 10th row. You're going to sit in the front row. Your kid is not allowed to walk up and down the sideline. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, look at me. I'm going to touch him. No. Get him out of there. I was with Westbrook on that one, too, but he got grief for that as well.
Oh, so, listen, again, I'm no Westbrook fan. I mean, the guy is emotional. He's all over the place. And I think he's overrated as a player. But in a case like this, it's not even that close to me.
You know, I just hope that they don't overreact and they ruin that fan experience. Because one of the best things about the NFL, NBA, one of the best things about the NBA, not that I would know personally, guys like Jimmy do, but if you are lucky enough to sit down in those seats, that is a totally unique experience. So you don't get that anywhere else in sports.
Experience, especially at TD Garden for the Celtics.
Exactly. So Jimmy knows as well
you
as anyone.
Too.
I'm not sure. It's just totally unique. It'd be a shame if, and again.
Or are they going to put up like plexiglass or something?
I don't know. What do you do?
Netting.
In Europe, I don't think they sit on the court. I think they're behind like a little half sort of barrier kind of thing, I think. So I don't know. I hope that never leaves, because that's sort of a cool experience if you're ever lucky enough to
have
it.
An amazing experience. I recommend it for everybody.
Yeah, I've only I've sat down there before, and it's awesome. I mean, it is. You are literally like right there. You do feel like you're part of the game, but you're not.
All right, so there's our thoughts on that. Back to Kyrie after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Matt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
He really, he has no clue about himself. None. He's completely oblivious. It's comical. It is absolutely comical.
And it's so interesting.
He's never coached a player like me. Oh, my God, I can't believe he said that. I wanted to vomit. He's never coached a player like me.
Calm down.
Oh, my God, when he said that, I wanted to puke. I wanted to puke. I wanted to project out of every orifice of my body. I wanted to just convulsively puke. It was awful. He's never coached a player like me. Oh, get over yourself. Good God. He's never coached a player like me. Because I'm special. I'm special. Oh, you tool. Like, who says that? It's LeBron-itis. That's where his son of LeBron's playing for the Celtics. It's like a horror movie, for crying out loud.
Mini-me.
Breathtaking.
Oh, God, it's brutal.
Little Penny.
If I want to give interviews, I'll give interviews. You know what your problem is? You're too much. Hey, best player in basketball guarantees championship. Guaranteed.
Oh, he's so brutal to listen to. Brutal.
Calm down.
Ah! Squeaky Mass from last week on Kyrie Irving, that comment. Brad's never coached a guy like me. Then Saturday, after that Lakers game, I did some coaching on the way out. Oh, just play that one again, Jimmy, real quick. Boy, I happen to be watching. You guys happen. Murray happened to be watching. I don't know if you're watching, but anyone who was watching, who listens to this show, must have heard that and gone, oh, boy, here we go again.
Can you tell us what changed? Because Brad said the plane ride out here, that everything was just different.
I did some coaching on the plane myself. I helped Brad. I helped Coach Stevens with some coaching. But more or less just getting our spirit right and our energy. I think the rigors of the season could get to you a little bit. I myself was very frustrated. High expectations for myself and for my teammates.
Okay, I got it. Myself. And then I told you, I read this quote last night where he's asked about the Clippers, who have played exceptionally well against the Celtics. I mean, look, they laid an egg last night, but also the Clippers couldn't miss for like the second straight time playing that team. They couldn't miss. And so he's asked about the Clippers and he goes off on Doc. And the first thing he says is, it's so easy to play for a guy that's been a player in this league. He's won a championship and he's done unbelievable thing in this league for his players. And giving them the confidence. I just, I read that. I'm like, what's he really talking about? Then I wanted to know, was he even asked about Doc or was he just asked about the Clippers? Here's the actual question.
What do you make of this Clippers team? At the start of the season, they weren't counted as to be one of the teams to make it to the playoffs. Now they have a shot, a potential to make the playoffs.
It is so easy to play for a guy that has been a player, a player in this league, and he's won a championship, and he's done unbelievable things in this league for his players.
Okay, we're just giving it the Felger and Mavs treatment. Is that just a unintentional, veiled commentary on his coach?
I mean, that's what it feels like to me. Again, I don't know why you would go there if you were him. Like, the easy thing would be to say is, hey, look, they're a team that comes to play hard every night. You actually talk about the team. And then you want to add, the coach has been around. He knows what he's doing, blah, blah, blah. Instead, it's, play for a coach who's been in this league and won a championship?
It's so easy to play for a guy who's played in this league.
I mean, I think this guy's on planet Zippy. Okay. I do. I think he's on planet Zippy, and he sits there and doesn't even realize the stuff that's coming out of his mouth about 85% of the time.
Okay, so Kyrie's in a good mood now. He turned the page. He had a great trip, meaning attitude-wise, do you trust him to stay there? Do you trust him the rest of the way? Kevin, do you trust him?
As a fan,
I just want to grab them and shake them and say, shut up, please, for the love of God, shut up. You know, he's a walking contradiction right now. You're so focused on being a leader, and you are setting the worst example for these young guys. How are you going to lead a team when you consistently have them on eggshells? And like you guys are saying, oh, well, you know, is Kyrie going to be happy or sad tonight? So how are we going to play? Are we going to play good, or are we not going to play good based on Kyrie's emotions? I mean, this is ridiculous. And then, you know, this apology, this whole apology, I mean, it's a joke, and it's a game.
Okay, so the apology I'll give him, because I think he said the right thing there. I'm not going to get him on for the apology. But the riding the emotional roller coaster of Kyrie is clearly what the team is going through here. I mean, he could not have been any more miserable walking into the Garden for that Houston game. And then, like, the clouds part out in L.A., and they get it together, last night notwithstanding. It's like, so we're just going to ride the wave of this guy? His moods?
It's a hard way to live.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and I don't think, realistically, I don't think he can win championships that way. I mean, that's a hard way to do it.
Joe in Bedford, what do you got for us?
How you doing, guys? I don't understand why you guys are dissecting everything that this guy is saying. He's doing what a superstar is supposed to do. It's all about me, me, me. Let me ask you, if the tables were turned and LeBron was a Celtic and he was going me, 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 and he won a championship for the Celtics, all the green teamers would be praising him. Just let him say what he wants. Dude, he's doing what a superstar is supposed to do.
Well, unfortunately, Joe, thanks for the call. He's doing what a lot of superstars do in that league. I don't know if you're supposed to do that. Unfortunately, it's what the league has become. But I agree that if he had rings on his finger here, put Celtics banners up in the rafters, and or even just led this team, or even was just here last year and led this team to as far as they got, it'd be a little different. And then you'd put up with all of it. Because he hasn't done those things, I still think you're sort of waiting to see, well, you know, we'll put up with this if it means championships. But all this has meant so far is you couldn't finish last year, and this year has been really a slog.
I mean, he needs to show that he can do it as the lead dog. Like, he hasn't proven that yet.
On the floor, lead the team. I'm talking about, like, being a leader. I'm talking about, like, take them deep.
Yes.
As the guy.
He's never done that. And so, like, that's a hurdle that he has to climb. And by the way, with regard to LeBron, we kicked the crap out of LeBron for the same thing, and he's not even here. How many times have we said this about LeBron?
We hate LeBron. Now, this guy comes here and acts pretty much the exact same way. I'm sorry. It's the exact same thing. I, me, mine. And, you know, little subtle things where you wonder about where is he at with the coach. This is the exact same stuff. And will he stay or will he go? It's the exact same thing. I'm sorry. It's the exact same thing. Exactly. And you hate LeBron. So now the guy comes here and acts exactly the same. He's just wearing green. And I'll tell you what. I think I'm impressed that enough Celtics fans have sort of are agitated with him and just not, you know, viewing it through the laundry and are judging him on his actions as they would LeBron. And I think that's why Kyrie's gotten a fair amount of pushback here. We've got Tony and Shirley on the Westbrook thing. Hi, Tony.
Hey, look, I'm going to go real fast, Mike. I always do. Maz, you're wrong. You say he's overrated. The guy in stats alone helps his team out, never complains, gets everybody involved, gets more rebounds on offense than the Celtics do, and you always turn around. He's underrated. He's underrated because he does more for that team. You don't hear him complain. He said he's going to resign. He does. Nothing up in the air. And you always turn around. Matt, how is he underrated?
Okay, Tony, I know I do have to cut you off. Your phone's not good.
Yeah, I'm not going to belabor this point because, again, it's not really the Westbrook story today. But I'll tell you, his numbers are great. He doesn't win. He doesn't win enough. He's not a great shooter. And, again, as much as he puts up the numbers, does he make other guys better? Like, to me, that's one of the real things with a player in that league. There are certain guys that elevate other players. And I just, look, on the right team, could Westbrook win a championship? Sure. But as the lead guy, no chance.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts on the Celtics. We can do it all day if you want. We'll start to get to the latest with the Patriots and NFL free agency, reset some of our thoughts from yesterday, and get your Patriots thoughts as well off the top of the hour. Right after Murray's 90-second update here, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.